The last topic that Ms. Elsie-Sharm discussed was the notion that the world was created for a purpose, and man was created for a purpose, and the world was created to assist man in reaching that purpose. So anytime a person is not accomplishing towards that goal, in essence, he's not just bringing himself down, but really he's being makalkel the olam as well, because it's not reaching the purpose that it was meant to reach. V'nei al ikra zeh yiruna zal b'medrash kohelus, sha'amru zechron l'vracha, re'ei es kol ma'aseh elokim, ki miyuchal l'saken es asher ivso. The Medrash in Koheles says this almost explicitly. The Pasuk in Koheles, Pasuk says, Re'ei as Ma'aseh Elokim, see the works of Hashem, the creations of Hashem, Kim Yuchal Sakan Asher Ivso. Who can fix that which has been made crooked? So what exactly is that referencing? So the Medrash says that this Pasuk refers to what Hashem said to Adam Rishon shortly after he was created. Hashem took him, he took him around. I don't know if this was literally like a walking tour of Gan Eden. He was introduced to every single tree in the garden, and he was able to experience the beauty, every aspect of Hashem's creation in Gan Eden. And Hashem said to him, take a look at this. See how beautiful it is. Everything I created, I did it for you. Tein daitcha, give your attention. Make sure that it's your priority. Shlo sekalkel v'sachar v'salami, that you don't spend your life ruining and destroying that which I created. So what does that mean? Hashem had to tell Adam, don't take a chainsaw and chop down the trees in the forest, in the garden. That's what he was worried about, that he was going to... he's going to ruin, he's going to physically destroy that which Hashem created. Sounds unlikely. So instead, what the Mesillas Yesharim is saying, the Pshat in the Medrash is that you can be makalkel without physically destroying something, but by simply diverting something from its intended purpose, that's also a kilkel. That's also a kilkel. When my sister was about 3 years old, I was thinking maybe this is a better illustration of what we were trying to say yesterday. When my sister was about 3 years old, my grandparents came over, and as a gift, they gave her a $5 bill. So I don't know if she had ever seen or held a dollar bill before. So she took the money, ran upstairs, ripped it in a million pieces, and flushed it down the toilet. So now, it's funny, it's sort of cute, it's sort of chaval, but when you hear a story like that, it sounds silly, it sounds something that a three-year-old would do. But the point is that a gross misunderstanding of the purpose and the value of what you're dealing with, right? Taking the $5 and making it unspendable, making it unusable, right? So you could say, well, all right, the kid had a lot of fun. The child had a geschmack by ripping it up and flushing down the toilet. Okay, maybe, but did you ruin the dollar? Yes, you ruined the dollar because simply the fact that it wasn't expended towards its intended purpose, it didn't reach its full value, memela, it's a destruction. So that's how we relate to the Churban Ha'olam that he's describing over here, when the world that Hashem created to serve his man, to help him reach his goal, is not used for that purpose. This is the bottom line. A person has to realize, go through life knowing that you were not created for your existence in this world. Really, you were created for your purpose in the next world. Your matzav now is the medium. It's the vehicle. It's what gets you to the matzav of Olam Haba, Shu Tachlisi, which is the absolute final endgame. He says, you'll notice there are so many Mamar Chazal that all revolve around a similar theme. Midam Olam Hazal Makom Uzman Hachana, Olam Haba, Lamakom Amnucha Vachila Samuchim Kvar. So many Mamar Chazal express the fact that Olam Hazeh is a time and a place of preparation, and Olam Haba is a place of rest and being able to enjoy and appreciate the fruits that have already been prepared, meaning the fruits of a person's actions in that Zman Hachana, and that Zman of and that Makam of Hachana. Yes. That's the mission of us we already referenced. Today is the time to do, and later, tomorrow, is the time to receive the schar. Misha tarach b'erev Shabbos, yochel b'Shabbos. And then, a Gemara in Erevin that takes that same theme of being productive in this world to reach some greater goal at a later point, namely in Olam Haba, it's the same thing as Misha tarach b'erev Shabbos, yochel b'Shabbos. Ha'olam hazeh dom li'abashar v'olam haba liyam, v'm'ein oda mesakim lo bi'abashar ma'yochel b'yam, ke'ilu rabam alzeh derech. So let's look at these two Gemaras and see what we can extract for just to create an imagery which is helpful for us to bring it down to earth. Thank you so much, Aaron. So to look in the middle of that paragraph labeled Tezayin, that's in the middle of the screen. So it's Gemara Erevin is the Gemara Hayom La'asos Machal Kabel Scharim, and then the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Mishatarach Barav Shabbos Yochel B'Shabbos. Mishatarach Barav Shabbos Yochel B'Shabbos. So that's an interesting comparison. You work hard on Erev Shabbos, you'll appreciate it on Shabbos. So if anyone has ever had a rushed Friday afternoon preparing and cooking and cleaning, and you didn't quite get to, and you forgot to turn the cholent on. I don't know if you ever had that type of experience where you did so much, but at the last minute there still were some finishing touches that never got attention, and as a result something was missing from the Shabbos table. If you start already Thursday night and you put the tablecloth down and you put all the dishes out and you're ready when Shabbos begins, then you can already feel the beauty of Shabbos before Shabbos starts. Sometimes you're working so hard to get things ready and you're behind schedule and not everything gets attended to, and then it's a great disappointment on Shabbos when something didn't make it into the oven, something didn't get cooked, the cholent didn't get prepared because no one turned it on. You didn't put the blach on it, right? You just couldn't enjoy that which you had prepared because it wasn't done in advance. So that feeling of failure, that feeling of I could have had it, but I just didn't give it the attention at the time that I needed to, that's how we're trying to express Olam Hazeh is Olam Haba. That's more of Avodah Zarah. And the final marker in this paragraph, the Kohel Rabbah, Olam Hazeh Domo Li'Abash Olam Haba Liyam. So comparing our world to dry land, and we're embarking on a journey. And that journey takes us into the sea, Olam Haba. Right? So, it's sort of like you can compare it to going on a trip. A long trip doesn't have to be by sea. It could be by air. Let's say you're rushing to get to the airport, rushing to get to the gate, and you thought you had a snack in your backpack, and you didn't. And meanwhile, you have to get onto the plane, and they're coming around with snacks, and it's just those biscuits, the red and white package that aren't kosher, and there's nothing to eat. And then you're traveling, and then maybe there's a you have a stopover in a foreign country, and there's nothing to eat there. Also, you're hungry and hungry and hungry, and there's nothing to buy. Josh, that happened to you? Looks like you had that type of experience. You're on a trip, and you just have nothing that you can get, and you're starving. So, if it's ain adam l'masak l'biyabosh l'mayoch l'yam, if you didn't pack your backpack, you didn't have everything you needed for the trip, so you're going to have a great disappointment later when you just can't access that which you need. V'sir b'emes shekvar l'yuchos. Okay, go for it. Right?
That I would have missed my flight. So instead, I went straight to the flight. I'm like, I'll survive 6 hours, whatever it is. And I had like a small snack I bought in the airport for like $20, a bag of peanuts, I don't know. Okay, I had that, I was fine. And in the middle of the flight, they gave out Biscoff Lotus crackers. I loved those. I had them in Israel, I had them at home. But like, just being safe, I looked for the OU, it's not there. And I'm like, okay, but like it's Lotus cookies. I had them all the time. And then I'm looking, and then I use like the airplane Wi-Fi to try to search OU, couldn't find anything. And I asked my father, he's like, don't have it. But I'm like, I really want it. And then, so I look around me, it's a flight from Phoenix to JFK in whatever time in the morning or some random day. I look around me, it happens to be the one yamk on the plane is sitting in like that little like slip behind me. I turn around to ask them, like, is this kosher? And they're like, the way that it is the ones we have at home and in Israel is made specifically for Israel. Everywhere else in America is made in Belgium, so it's not OU, it's not kosher. But they're like, we have so much food, and I'm like, nah, it's fine. And then they forcibly gave me this massive peanut butter jelly sandwich, and it was the best peanut butter jelly sandwich I've had of all time. And because that yarmulke, because I had a yarmulke, and it happened to be Hashem made us right next to each other, the only ones in the plane.
Beautiful.
So that was
beautiful.
There you go.
Okay.
You gotta pack your bags in advance.
That's right.
And
that's
there
right.
You go.
Okay. Thank you, Josh. Viserba emes. Let's go weiter a little bit more. Viserba emes. Says, let's reflect. A little philosophical contemplation right now. Any intelligent person, it would be impossible for them to truly believe that the purpose of man's creation is for the time that man spends in Olmazeh. Right? We've already made it clear that Chovas Ha'adam Ba'olamo, the topic of this paragraph, is to prepare for the next world. So he says, let's say you would contest that idea. Let's say you would say, no, why is it so clear to you that it's all about Olam Haba? So he says, I'll make it very clear to you if you don't understand yourself. So he says, point number one is the little blip of time that we spend in this world, 70, 80 years, so it's relatively short, right? It's relatively short. Not only is it relatively short, but as you will see over time, and as you will discover as you continue through life, it's not so simple and it's not so smooth. Some of you may have already had various forms of adversity and challenges that you've had to overcome to be successful, to be who you are. And if you haven't yet, this is not a klala, this is not me wishing bad upon you. The nature of life is that you overcome, that you encounter challenges, less likely when you're younger, but the more responsibility you have on your shoulders, whether it be in the realm of parnasa, whether it be in the realm of raising children, whether it be in the realm of relating to family members, communal matters, health matters, right? These are things which no one can count on. No one can assume that they are entitled. They can expect things to always be sameach v'shalav mamish ba'olam hazeh. That's not something you can count on. A person experiences all kinds of pains and challenges, and then he dies. He said, one in a thousand will be. Even one in a thousand won't find an abundance of pure pleasure and peace and relaxation. In absolutely in this world. Now let's say you have a person, the rare exception, where everything just goes right and everything goes smoothly for his entire life, which, again, he's not so convinced you're going to find that person. So let's say he lives for 100 years, okay? But after 100 years, so then, you know, then he's done. That's all gone. And I have the privilege of knowing people who are Bli Ayin Hara, 100 years old, and, you know, it's funny how when you talk to them, they have nachas. They have children and grandchildren who are successful. But if you ask them, sometimes they say, "I'd rather be dead." It's hard for me to watch all my friends, all my family members, who are younger than me, be nifter. It's hard for me to have to still bear whatever pain I've bore over the course of my lifetime and have to stand. But we would look at that person and say, "Wow, you're 100 years old and you have so much nachas and so much bracha. You should just be walking around smiling all the time, right?" So it's always greener on the other side. But he's just trying to say whatever privileges a person has, sometimes the average individual may not fully be able to appreciate it or enjoy it. And if they can, at some point it's over. Number two, even if you'd be convinced that the tachlis of Adam is in this world, despite how challenging and how short-lived it may be, this is a very, very powerful point. Please listen to this, Rabbi Sai. He says, if this world was the ultimate in the person's goals in their existence, he says, isn't it strange? Man exists because there's a neshama infused into his guf that is kol kach chashuva ve'elyona shetia gedol yosu min hamlach ma'atzmam. Man is considered on a higher level than even the angels. It means that the otherworldly spiritual beings that we can't even see, let alone interact with, or have any hasaga or concept of what they are and who they are, we have a capacity to be even greater than them. That's how we are built. That's how we are created. So why would Hashem put that special and uniquely elevated spiritual neshama inside of us to live in this world, unless the ultimate goal was to get to a place where that neshama would have its full expression, right? It's completely incongruent to say that the higher elevated levels that are even beyond the angel can be incorporated into a human being simply for the purpose of Olam Hazeh. That doesn't make any sense. The neshama doesn't connect. It doesn't even process Olam Hazeh. It has no interest in processing Olam Hazeh. Kol shekin she'eina motzeh shom nachas ruach b'chol inugei zeh ha'olam. The neshama doesn't derive any benefit or enjoyment from all the things that you as a human think are so geshmakin in this world. The pasuk says in Koheles, and I'd like to talk about this more in a separate set of shirim about what the neshama is. Gam hanefesh lo timali explains the medrash. Literally, again, the pasuk means nefesh lo timali. The soul cannot be filled, cannot be satisfied. Mashal adam adome le runi shenasa bas melech im yavi lo kol mashav olam. Let's say you had a farmer, a simple villager who's uneducated and uncultured and doesn't have any shaychus to the big city life and the royal palace and the higher echelons of society, and somehow he lands a shidduch with the princess, right? So what does he do in his free time? He takes a hayride. Yeah, he rides a horse around the ranch. You know, he milks the cows, and you know, on a good night when he's really you know, out on the town, he'll play bingo, you know, and get a few beers. Okay, that's his sense of entertainment. And what does he eat? You know, he's getting barbecue, some hot dogs and hamburgers. That's a super geschmack for him. And he marries this bas melech, this princess. And he wants to give her everything in the world. And he wants to make her happy. And he wants to buy her presents. And he wants to expose her to all the things that he thinks are fun and enjoyable in the world. And he wants to buy her jewelry. So he weaves something out of, like, you know, some straw and hay that he got on the farm. And presents it to her and gives her a necklace. And she doesn't know what is flying, and she can't possibly appreciate anything that he's giving her. He wants to give her the bingo and the beer, and she is used to going to the opera, and she's used to the fancy ballrooms and gold and silver and diamonds and the elevated noble lifestyle that she's accustomed to. And he is you know, from out on the sticks, from the hick town, and they're just not even talking to each other. But specifically, her essence cannot tolerate and cannot enjoy and can't even see the value in anything so low on the totem pole, on the social scale. It's not even on the spectrum from where she's coming from. So likewise, the neshama has no concept of what you're feeding it when if the gashmis was ultimately the goal. So he says it can't be that the neshama it sees its end game in Olam Hazeh, because it cannot even read, it cannot even appreciate, it cannot connect to that which you consider pleasure in this world. It must be, it has some sort of higher purpose. A little bit further, why is the mission for Gava say that you're forced to be created, you're forced to be born? Right? What's the coercion over here? So the coercion over here comes from the fact that the neshama does not like this world. It finds it repulsive. So it can't be it's logically, philosophically impossible to presume that Hashem created man with its neshama to be implanted in a world that is so diametrically opposed and repulsive to it. He says that should stand alone as a compelling reason why Olam Hazeh cannot be the end game. It cannot be our final purpose. Ella, Aaron, a little bit more. El Briyaso Shal Adam L'matzava B'Olam Abahi. So therefore, we must come to the conclusion the creation of man is for his ultimate existence in Olam Abahi. Okay, Nidna Bo Neshama Zos Kilo Roy Lavon. Therefore, you were given the Neshama because it has that chance of realizing its potential in Olam Haba, if you do what you're supposed to do with it in this world. You're going to use it to earn the schar in the right time, the right place. And when that time comes, that a person is using his neshama to earn that schar for the right time and the right place, is used for the purpose of serving as the vehicle to Olam Haba, then the neshama will not find Olam Hazeh repulsive. On the contrary, then it will, on the contrary, find great pleasure and great appreciation in this world because it's reaching towards its goal where it's supposed to ultimately arrive.